Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, welcome to the Hour of Truth. And computer was very lethargic about wanting to process this sound. But we are live and we are up. And hopefully we'll spit out some truth. Good morning, James. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
Afternoon. I mean.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So how is everybody doing?
Yeah, we were on earlier. I can hear the backlash on it. How's everybody doing? Why you gotta ask such complicated questions? I already just saying. Oh, Jesus.
We're gonna see if we can get anything out of you in the first half hour today.
Oh boy. Oh boy. What was that thing you said to me? We are live, we are this. I'm thinking live. Well, that's debatable this morning.
Well, depends on whether you're.
I guess that would depend if we were walking after the spirit.
There you go. I think the first half hour should be Comedy Central. Comedy Hour.
First half hour, Comedy Hour.
What's that?
A roast of Paul.
I don't know. I think that'd turn into a roast of Phil pretty shortly. So I don't know how much in par I'm up for that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I can hang. Doesn't matter. In fact, some people might prefer that I hang. But we will go there. Because I don't want to give anybody any ideas. So, it was an interesting service. I got to hear some of what Steve was talking about, and it never ceases to amaze me that, you know, Steve was talking about when he first showed up in Vermont. You would actually have to be funny to have a comedy half hour. Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate that. That's, I'm a legend in my own mind. I'm funny.
I'm funny. You really just bursted one of those delusion bubbles there, Ricky. I thought, man, I thought I was hilarious.
I don't know. That's like me replying to, so do you want such and such? Or me going, no, I'm good. Yeah. let me see. Dump. You know, that is what it is.
It is what it is.
We have Steve showing up in Vermont, and two people that were under no illusion as to what sort of person was coming up there, but they loved him anyway, and loved him enough to Davey, loved him enough.
Yeah, I like how you clarified, like, one person, two, maybe.
And, right. Everybody's, you know, a million comedians out of work, and we have people trying to be funny in the chat room.
I don't get that one. We have John A. Now we have Fun A. Is that, like, what do you call that? Is that Canadian?
I tell you what, I don't get no respect at all.
Is John down there? John Van Dorn?
It would actually be up, but
yeah, up there.
Small,
yeah,
small error, Phil.
Well, I mean, if you go, if the world's round, so if you go down, eventually,
I really, you know, I did try to get this thing on track, and it went spinning off. Off axis very quickly. But Send a card and letters to Phil Walthall, 2220 Waverly Grove Drive.
I don't get it.
And, for the complaints.
Oh, yeah. That's my department anyways.
I have to explain everything. Absolutely everything. Anyhow, see what I'm dealing with here? It is just...
Okay, I quit. Being me.
The result of Steve going up to Vermont to rescue his sister from the blood-sucking cult leaders was that the Lord stopped him in his tracks and put him under the dog. And in that position, he could receive of the Lord. And it is not the kind of visible love that anybody in the natural is ever used to seeing. It's the difference between philia and agape. The difference between eros and agape. And, good grief, I'm gonna have to turn the daggum chat room off just because I can't stand
stuff. I'm really confused. I'm sorry that you can't chat room goes. But, you know, what you're talking about, you need put him under the dog and he learned from the Lord that way. And it's an interesting thing. I was actually watching this movie the other day. It was pretty cool. And I haven't seen it in years. It was called Kill Bill. And it starts to going off with this, Uma Thurman's training. And she meets this, and she's gonna start training and he tells him, do you have any other skills? I mean, do you have any skills at all? And she's like, yeah, I'm exquisite in the samurai sword and in tiger claw. He laughs and he goes, okay, I tell you what, you go over there and grab that sword, you hit me with that sword, I will bow down and call you master. And she learned very quickly that she was not exquisite in either of those things that she said she was exquisite in. She had to be brought down to that place. She had to be brought down to that place where she recognized she really didn't have anything. She didn't have anything of any worth. And then he says, you know what? He says, now let's start our training. But she had to be brought down to recognizing she had nothing.
This thing's gonna work at all. There you go. We went through Romans, and what interested you the most, James, about what we went through? Did you hear any?
Well, out of the service this morning, to me the biggest thing that stuck out was Steve talking about. Well, I think my mom first started with it, but the Good Samaritan, and then Steve brought it back up, and the inconvenience of putting off ourselves and doing and extending love one to another. It's an inconvenient thing. It's not what we wanted to do. And my gosh, last week Rick could get on here and tell you I failed miserably at that. And That was probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me today was, it's not about us, it's about the Lord and His business, not our wants, His wants.
Amen.
Die to ourselves.
Amen.
You're clamping up again there, buddy.
I was thinking.
It's only an hour show, come on. We have a call to account about whether we're tolerating by default rule of the flesh or rule of the spirit in our lives. And the choice is made by not choosing. And I think people like to delude themselves into assuming that just because they haven't buckled down and made a choice in front of people where they, you know, people can hold them accountable at a future date, if they've done nothing at all, then nobody can hold anything against them. Well, the Lord is not subject to those limitations. And not choosing to serve Him and be ruled by the Spirit, not making a decision either way, a conscious choice either way, is still making a choice. And puts you in the capacity of somebody who can say, well, Lord, I know the Lord better than everybody else knows the Lord. He's got a special plan for me. And you know, that's wholly against the testimony of Scripture. Scripture's testimony is you can be a part of His plan, but you're not the special one that you might think you want to be. He ain't making a plan specifically for you. He's already had a plan in operation. The question is, do you choose to be a partaker in that plan? Until you can agree with that, you're just in the, like Romans 8 says, you're at enmity with God. You cannot please Him in the flesh. That's what it says. And it's beyond, it just doesn't work. You can't do it. So, sometimes you need refresher training. Sometimes you need just get your butt kicked a couple of times and pointed in the right direction. But the interesting thing to me was, and here again I'm the only one talking, but that's okay. The interesting thing to me was, it talks about being carnally minded or being spiritually minded. And, you know, it's the seat of the will. It's a, there also was a relationship between in a relationship in kind about you cannot if you're going to be carnally minded, you can't, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please the Lord. If it's like without faith, it's impossible to please God. The mind element reminds me of both in 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul talks about pulling down strongholds, casting down vain imaginings, anything that...
every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of Christ.
Itself against Christ Jesus. So, in the Second Timothy. Paul says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. The sound mindedness is somebody who is, whose mind is minding the things of the Spirit. And, you know, putting off, calling down the spirit of fear and casting it off. And Hebrews 12 talks about, you know, the contradictions of sinners against Christ. And, you know, that if you can, when you consider those contradictions, you don't want to grow weary and faint in your mind. The mind is the battlefield here. You know, we may think the battlefield is out there, but it's not. The shields wipe the harvest out there, but the battlefield's inside this gray matter here. I can't see you shake your head.
I'm agreeing.
Oh, man.
I am agreeing.
Okay, I'm done.
Paul, you're absolutely right. You know, if we can get it right in ourselves and walk after the Spirit, everything out in the world is an opportunity to exercise that. And it really does start with us, because there's nothing that would come in the world that would move us if we were firm in the grace that's in Jesus, but walk, you know, standing fast and walking after the Spirit. If we can get that down, we've overcome the battle.
Right.
You're talking about the seat of your will. And, you know, really what gives us back the freedom of the seat of our will, Paul, is Christ Jesus. And, you know, that's kind of what's going through my head when you're sharing that. It is Christ Jesus himself. I mean, before, what are we wrapped in? We're wrapped into the flesh. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're baptized in that blood, we're back to that, tied into that Spirit. That's where the choice lies with us. Now it is His work, His love, His power that does it. But it's, where are we gonna, choose to walk in that?
No.
Or are we not? We're gonna choose to doubt the word. We're going to choose to believe the word. We're going to choose to doubt the word. That's, and what gives us that freedom is Him. But well, it's still up to us to mix those words with faith.
There's a whole lot of gray area here. Be carnally minded is death, but be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That default choice of no choice makes you an enemy of God. Yeah. So, this is putting you on notice that there is no third choice here. Verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. You can't do it, but we nonetheless think we're special and we'll be the first ones to break through. And He really won't mind that much. But that's what Scripture says. And I didn't make that rule. That's Paul trying to get y'all back, get us back on point. And that point is, out of chapter 6, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. The wages of sin
is death. Yeah.
And the other way, you actually get to put on his righteousness. You get covered by his righteousness. That's a good thing, because the self-righteousness thing doesn't cover. It doesn't work. You're his enemy. You can't please God in the flesh, and you can't do it without faith, as Hebrews 11:6 says. If you think you can, and you're going to be the pioneer cutting the first pathway that works like that, you're deluding yourself. And I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be mean, but you want your wife and your children to show the love of Christ, then you need to be minding the things of the Spirit and learning to please God. You lead, they'll follow. We've seen people who have gotten this right and been able to do this, so we're accountable. It was Davey receiving Steve up there when Steve was probably full of himself and not particularly lovable. And, you know, Davey actually taking the time, however inconvenient it may have been, to minister truth and truly show forth the love of the Father. And Steve understood how to be, I don't know if he understood how to be, the Lord made him the perfect understudy. He just spent all his time, all his waking time with David. And however trivial that even maybe Davey thought what he was doing was, it was important for Steve to be doing that study, figure out how to serve the Lord. We should all have that diligence. We should all be seeking to mind the things of the Spirit and to operate in the place where we too can please God, because we're minding the things of the Spirit. And we have cast off the enmity and been covered by His righteousness, not in seeking to pursue our own. And you know, there's so much good stuff in Romans 8, but the first, you know, I don't know, 15 verses or so, certainly the first 13 verses, are calls to accountability. If you think you can do this any other way, you are wrong. And some of this may be review, but some of this just needs to be, some of this just to be, have our heads turned around and pointed in the right direction again and kicked back into play, because you forget these things. Now, Romans 8's glorious chapter's got some good promises in it, but you don't get there until you resolve to agree with God on the first 13 verses.
Amen.
If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So how do you mortify the deeds of the body?
Starve it. Don't give it place. Fall after the spirit.
If you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You do it through the spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What? If you're led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. That's an awesome declaration. And it doesn't say should be or might become. It says you are. And you know, that's where the good stuff in chapter 8 starts being piled on. Next verse. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Whether we're the adopted ones. We didn't come to this by bloodline. And in many cases, our natural fathers didn't serve us well. But we have a heavenly Father. It's so awesome. He knows what we need before we ask. He's pleased to give out liberally wisdom. His mercy is new every day. His grace and his righteousness cover us from blood guiltiness.
Amen.
It's almost too awesome to even speak. Spirit itself bears witness that our spirit, that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Of God. And joint heirs with Christ. So if it be that we suffer with them, that we may also be glorified. Together. It'd be nice if I, actually, looking at the sentence, it'd be nice if the words that came out were what was written there. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also, that we may be also glorified together. I don't know why it was so hard to find that B in there and make that sentence read right. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How great is that?
What did that say again?
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
You know, I look at that. I remember we talked about what kind of lights me up was he who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, in that part where, and I remember Davey kind of breaking it down one evening. It was pretty interesting when he broke it down, was because breaking it down, he used the example of going to the beach. And you know, instead of, you know, you see that girl coming by and then you don't look. Because you know you're going to the area where you shouldn't be. And he says, you know, some of us just don't go to the beach altogether. But that suffering in the flesh is not taking heed to the flesh. But rather,
to mortify.
Right. And I remember Dave used to talk about, you know, kill a thing, starve a thing. You don't give it place. You don't give that flesh place. And talking about this life is but a vapor. I mean, it really is. I mean, it just, compared to eternity, it's nothing but a vapor.
What Peter says, yeah.
You know? Which I agree with. I mean, because the times are just flying by year by year by year. I mean, look, I mean, it seemed like it was just the end of 13. It's already going to be May. I mean, it really just very quickly. But that doesn't, to live with the Lord and to be of His Spirit, there's no greater. And you might suffer in the flesh. You don't take heed to the flesh. But who cares? I mean, you look at Stephen and what he did, and I look at Stephen, and not all of us are going to go through what Stephen did. But I look at what Stephen went through, and where he yet stood and told the truth, and he loved the people he was telling the truth to. Yet he was stoned, and he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." And he went to go be with the Lord. He seen the Lord. His spiritual eyes opened. Here's the Lord with his hand out, you know, enter in, a good and faithful servant. That's the reward we got. If we would but choose the Lord.
I'm trying to find a reference for the verse I just read. Because otherwise I'm liable to
mess it up,
obliterate it.
Done that many times.
Ah, and I found it.
Sweet.
Colossians 1:27. We just read an interesting verse about, "For I reckon these sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Again, that's not a should or a might. That's a shall. And this is the benefits. There's benefits to walking after the Spirit, to minding the things of the Spirit.
And
you can please God. And then the more you learn to please God, then the more your flesh suffers. And that's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And what shall be revealed in us? Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." What's being revealed in you? Christ is being revealed in you. Christ is being revealed by you. Instead of just having a confession, now you have a profession. And the profession is what you do shows Jesus. And in so, Jesus is being manifest in you. And the hope of glory is being manifest in you. And you know, that's pretty sweet that we even have that opportunity, given, you know, where we all came from. I mean, we're nothing particularly.
No, we not deserve none of it, but one bit. But that's God's love committed to you while we're yet sinners. And what I'm seeing, as you're reading on, you have the shoulds, and then you have the shalls, and you see the shalls. The shalls are the promises of God's. The shoulds is what we ought to be doing with what God has given us.
That's to choose to do.
Right. And if we choose to do, the shalls come with it. And the shalls are definite.
Yeah.
And that's God. He is definite. He's not moved. He's not changed. The shoulds fall on our part.
Amen.
Amen.
And this, and then the shalls, the promises, are from glory to glory. It just doesn't get any better than this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's almost like all creation is waiting for this to be fulfilled. It's in the process.
And then it's talking about, I mean, because right now the whole creation is suffering under this curse.
That's right.
Probably right after that, I think it talks about it.
The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Another. It's a ministry of deliverance. And not just for us, but for almost, you could say, all creation. All creation.
That's what he's talking about there when he says he's talking about the creature there is his creation.
Right. For we know
and this thing's going to be lifted up
and travaileth in pain together until now. It's cursed.
It's under a curse. It's suffering under a curse.
Right. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And again, I haven't looked up that word, but I bet that's that same Greek word. That same Greek word that's, you know, an unswerving devotion to a thing, a path on which you do not veer off. You cannot be knocked off. It's not, you know, simply simple anxiousness about a potential, receiving a potential good thing or something like that, where you have to suppress that anxiousness. You know, grown-ups don't act like that. You're acting like a kid kind of thing. It's not that developmental patience. This is a patience of commitment.
Yeah, it's not waiting around. It's an earnest expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are saved with hope. Hope is not hope for what the man seeth, that he yet hopeful, but likewise the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. You know, how many times you start praying for somebody you just really don't know. You don't know how to pray. You start praying in tongues. And the Spirit makes an intercession. The Spirit searches the heart and knows the needs. And frequently what you'll find is you'll have it revealed to you how to pray, what to pray about. The Lord actually quickens it to you. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. It's the same sort of a thing where you know, Jesus said, I do only that, those things the Father has given me to do, and I say only the things the Father has given me to say. When the Spirit makes intercession, He does it according, not to His own plan or His own purpose, but to the unified purpose of God. And then, you know, the real good stuff starts. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And, you know, there's really two groups there. And, the called according to His purpose. Well, he explains that a little bit later too, but it's available to everybody that loves God.
Amen.
For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now those are the called according to His purpose. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's going to be the apostles. That's clearly what He's talking about there. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, this is the glorious stuff out of Romans 8. But where it all came out of was paying attention to the things of the Spirit. And not being in bondage to serve the flesh anymore and sin.
That's where, you know, you take that love, and that promise goes to those that love God. That leaves you with ample amount of opportunity to love. What you're talking about is those that love God, those that are choosing to walk after Spirit, not after the flesh. You know, one of the great big examples on that one who walked in what the Lord had him walk in, who was not predestinated, not any of those things, was Elijah.
Right.
He chose to love God. He was sitting there reading the word, seeing what was going on with Israel. Went and said,
chose to believe God
and brought them to account. Got God's attention. Now, if Elijah sitting there reading the word got God's attention, it means we can get His attention too. If we choose to believe His word, like Elijah did. I mean, the opportunity is available for anybody.
Yeah. Where was I?
In chapter 8.
Thank you.
32.
Thank you. He has spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now this, you know, we had been talking about the predestined, the apostles, but this changes gears. This, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Who did He deliver Him up for? Everybody.
All.
Everybody who would receive Him. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? Is Christ they thought, you know, I'm thinking here that, you know, actually in 32, he's still talking about God's elect there too. But that's his confidence in God's commitment to the elect. And through the faith in the testimony of their word, we are all covered in that same grace and that same ministration of all those good things. So, you know, he is still talking about the elect there. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the mortifying the deeds of the body, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, which I could go to the Colossians and we could read about there too. Multiple second witnesses. None of this stuff is isolated here only in the Bible. It's second witnesses all of this everywhere.
You actually read the epistles out, must say, line up. They're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first was, I listened to the Word a lot, and I remember Ricky telling me, you know, I really started growing the Lord as I listened to the Word a lot, and he bought me Bible CDs. Just kind of going on a side note on where there's another witness to it. And I remember listening to the epistles and listening to the New Testament, you know. Over and over again in the car, had a long way to work. Still got a long way to work, but anyways, I listened to it over and over again, and I would see that, I mean, it's the same message. Over and over and over again.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
I mean, some were a little bit harder to get where the church was at that time, but it's the same message over and over.
And, you know, really, for thy sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. There, by having this testimony and this relationship, they really are targets. And this isn't so much just a spiritual mortifying the flesh, the dying in the flesh, the actually identifying with the dying in the flesh of Jesus, but it is also a choice that they make, that if this testimony kills us, that's okay. We'll go down testifying about the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, you did. I mean, you looked at, I mean, Jesus was a target. I mean, Jesus was a target. Yeah. Stephen was a target. Paul was a target. Peter was a target. But you watch, in Christ, though, we are something else.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Is she going to kill me? That just plugged me into the conquer.
It's a shortcut to...
Hey, Stephen, how you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now that where I choose to stand. And that plugs in rather nicely to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind that agrees with this is, and agrees with everything that has gone before on this. They're not minded to things of the flesh, they're minded to things of the spirit.
I mean, you're in that place if you're doing that. You're choosing to love God.
You connect.
And none of those things will separate from you. But it's like the thing, I mean, God's love has never changed, it's right there. Right. It's right there. The only thing that changes is us. I mean, the only thing that moves is us.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we need, that's what we need to grab a hold on to, is to not let anything move us from Him. And the biggest number one enemy to get us from that is this old, deceitful, nasty flesh. It's carnal mind.
It's in league with the enemy.
Then in the same chapter it says it's enmity with God.
That's right.
So, but the promises are sure. The promises are shall. Once again, the shoulds, that's up to us. We want to be in those promises or do we not? And it's a choice to either believe His word and to do what He would have us do. Or to not, to believe the lies.
But this whole thing flows through, doesn't it? What was I talking about in the service? You get this relationship right.
Right, yeah.
Then this stuff smooths out, and really the end point of this, what happens here, is not even anything you care about. It's if it kills me, so what?
Yeah.
I got this straight, the vertical straight, so the horizontal, where the horizontal works, in relationships and whatever people think of me, I don't care, it doesn't even pass over my purview, my radar is not there. All I care about is the things of the Lord. And I am, by commitment and choice, agreeing to follow and pursue things of the Spirit, then I am, what does it say? Able to please God. Because in verse 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. You get this relationship straight, you get, when your decisions and choices are spiritually informed, and you agree with the Spirit, you agree with the Word, you agree that first off, in the line of authority, the people over you, you agree with their position, you agree with their line of authority, and the ways, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father but by Him. His way is the way. This is His way. And when you get that relationship straightened out, and you can finally please the Lord, then it really, that becomes like, catnip to a cat, man. It's just want more and 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 more of it. Like a snowball rolling downhill. You get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, any final thoughts here, James, before I call this thing to completion?
No, Paul.
Final thoughts, Phil?
No.
Any thought, Phil?
No.
Somehow I knew that was coming. Well, it's been fun, and I hope y'all liked it and enjoyed it. And, you know, the Lord was able to give you something from it. And it pleases us to have the opportunity to share His Word in the hour of truth every week. Lord willing, next week we'll be right back here. Till then, Texas service is up at the top of the hour, and we will say God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
May the Lord bless you.
You're next. You can say something.
Yeah, bye everybody. Bye. I thought we were already off.
No, we're off now.